Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Necessary Roughness podcast presented by Last Word on Sports. As always, I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic. I hope you all had a marvelous month of March, because as you know, if you're listening right now, and if it's your first time here, welcome aboard, and I hope you stick around, even though it is the off-season. In the off-season, we're releasing only monthly episodes rather than our weekly content, which we do during the NFL regular and postseason, and we'll likely start doing towards the tail end of the preseason as well, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. If I didn't say it already, thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. And, well, this month was more eventful than the last. Episode 24 was full of a lot of prognostication, a little ending piece with some spicy hot takes. We haven't seen any of them pan out or not, to be completely honest, because they were season upcoming hot takes. But, you know, it's all good. The never-ending football season is still underway with the NFL draft coming soon. We're past the combine. Free agency is not over. It never really ends. But the free agency process is well underway. A lot of big names signing and trading places. That being said, let's jump into episode 25 and dive into this month's edition of Nick's Standout 7. And number one is going to come from something which happened, well, yesterday. Dez Bryant, star receiver, no matter what you say about his production talent, he is a star. Star wide receiver Dez Bryant was cut straight up by the Dallas Cowboys. And the reports are saying that he went in for his meeting with Jerry Jones, owner, and perhaps Stephen Jones was there, I'm not sure. They haven't mentioned that. But they're saying that the meeting lasted 20 minutes, and Dez was told, hey, you're done. There was no asking for a pay cut. There was no negotiating from everything that's being reported. It was quite simply, you know, Dez, you're out. That's it. Now, Dez, in the aftermath, was, you know, as expected, I wouldn't call him bitter, because I feel as though you're allowed to be a little angry if you've been with this team for a long time, and they essentially just say, hey, you're done. A la Jordy Nelson. Jordy didn't come out publicly and be as angry, or display his anger as much as Dez had in the past day, but it's all good. And Dez, via Twitter, is quite an interesting follow, usually, and especially in the last day. He retweeted a gif of Odell Beckham making the catch, the infamous catch, and said, come to my Giants, you and Odell would destroy the league. He's putting that out there. Ronald Leary, he retweeted him saying, if Dez gets a chance to play Dallas twice a year, I'd pay good money to see that. And Dez has said, he did a sit-down interview with ESPN, and in it, they mentioned, would you want to play Dallas? And he immediately said he'd love to play them twice a year. It's interesting. You know, would Dez fit on the NFC East squads? Now, honestly, I think he would. You put him in Philly, opposite Alshon Jeffrey, for Nick Foles for a few games if you need him, which would help him tremendously, or Carson Wentz, which would make that already scary offense even better. Zach Ertz, one of the better tight ends in the league. Alshon Jeffrey, one of the better big body receivers in the league. And you bring a revitalized Dez Bryant, who brings that explosiveness and that intensity. You put that out there, you pair it with a pretty darn good running game with Jay Ajayi, and the defending champs look like they may, you know, go for that repeat, try and start a little dynasty. Now, would it work cap-wise? I'm unsure about that. Especially considering it's not, you know, public knowledge. Dez hasn't made it apparent what he's looking for contractually. He had 2 years left on the deal with Dallas, and this next season, he was set to make $12.5 million. I don't know if he'll get that money right now, especially considering a lot of the statistics out there are really not too kind. You know, Dak connected with him, on 52 or 53% of his attempts to Bryant. You look at a lot of those highlights, some of the throws are a little high, they're contested jump balls. It's Dez Bryant. He's not going to bring down 75% of the balls if you're throwing him jump balls. You know what I mean? It's nothing against Dez. It's just they're contested catches. They're hard to make. You know? It's just the way it is. You're not going to shoot 75% from three-point range. It's that kind of deal. You know what I mean? That being said, I think he'd fit, and I think it would be quite the show. The team that I think may be getting overlooked, now obviously everybody wants to say, you know, the Giants, him and Odell. Not everybody, obviously. But him and Odell and Brandon Marshall and Sterling Shepard and Ingram and, you know, if they pick up Barkley in the draft, that would be a phenomenal offense. I don't think it works. And it's not even the, you know, classic, there's not enough ball to go around. I think Marshall is currently filling Bryant's spot. So if they were to want to acquire Dez Bryant, they'd have to try to move Brandon Marshall, which I think would be kind of challenging, coming off an injury and being at his advanced age. And his last season with the Jets, before he signed with the Giants, was not spectacular. So you'd pretty much be acquiring him on name and hoping that he has a little late career resurgence for the last year of his career, what will likely be the last year of his career. That being said, Bryant plugged in Marshall's place would be intense. Bryant on the outside, giving that jump ball threat that Eli Manning's been looking for since Plaxico Burress. Had it a little bit with Hakeem Nicks, but, you know, an elite jump ball threat. I wouldn't say Hakeem was elite. I'd say he was quite talented, but never in the top tier. Dez Bryant would give you that, even at, you know, not an advanced age, but as he's getting into the, you know, a little long in the tooth, so to speak. Not to mention, he would come with the regular old Dez intensity, plus he's even more motivated. Because now, Dez wants to show those Cowboys. Dez wants to go out and score three touchdowns on the Cowboys and, you know, do a little T.O. flex on the star. And the most interesting team, as I was saying, in my opinion, is Washington. Because Washington just acquired Alex Smith, which means they're not looking to lay down and do nothing. They lost Terrell Pryor in free agency, which isn't the end of the world, even though I'm high on Terrell Pryor. Not everyone is. I think Terrell is quite the talented wide receiver, and he was electric athletically at quarterback, and you put him at wide receiver. He's got pretty darn good hands. He's a deep threat. He's a big body. You put Bryant in there with a guy like Josh Dotson, and if Jordan Reed could stay healthy, they have a stable of running backs. They're not, you know, top-tier backs, but they could run the ball a bit. If that team could stay healthy, that team could sneak in and contend in the NFC East and potentially in the NFC if it goes their way. Now, you know my opinion on Alex Smith. I don't think Alex Smith is Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or, you know, I would say even during his quote-unquote prime or his postseason career, Joe Flacco. I think Smith is a good quarterback who can get you there, and he won't lose you the game when you're there, in all likelihood. I don't know if he'll make the play to win the game when you're there. That's always been my knock on him. But, you know, if you put enough talented players around him, Smith has never really, I don't know. I was going to say Smith has never had an elite receiver like Dez, but Michael Crabtree was pretty darn good in San Fran. And they did have Jeremy Maclin. I would say Bryant is definitely better than Maclin. But at this point in his career, compared to when Maclin went to Kansas City, it'd probably be comparable. I don't know. Especially considering Smith loves to throw to tight ends. You saw what he did with Travis Kelce. Jordan Reed's going to have a phenomenal year. Probably going to ball out if he could stay on the field, which I'm hoping he can. Very fun to watch player. And where does Dez fit is the general what I'm getting at here. And there's been a couple teams get kicked around. You know, could Dez go to Green Bay? Could Dez go to New England? New England, and we'll get into this later in the Standout 7, New England just dealt Brandon Cooks for a draft pick. And, you know, it's a stretch, but the last time, you know, an elite receiver with maybe considered some attitude problems at times went to play with Tom Brady, it went pretty well for about 18 games. You know? I'm talking, of course, about Randy Moss. And Cooks brought a sheer athleticism and quickness to that offense that I would say Dez at this point in his career cannot bring. He's just not, you know, straight line fast enough. But Dez brings a different level of versatility in that he's a little bit bigger. He can go for more contested catches. And I think when you plug him in, if you were to plug him in, rather, with a guy like Rob Gronkowski, who also gives you that big body, big frame, and then a coming back from injury, Julian Edelman, that's a pretty darn good team. It really is. I mean, they're the Patriots. They're always a good team. They win their division, you know, every year. It's not always a cakewalk, but they get it done. I think that would be scary. If you plug him into the Jordy Nelson role in Green Bay, I think Green Bay immediately catapults back up to that top tier in the NFC. Some people say they're already there. I would say their wide receiving core is not the scariest, in my opinion. But you have Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers can work with just about anyone. And also, when you consider the fact that they signed Jimmy Graham, who gives them that receiving threat at the tight end position. Is Jimmy Graham what he used to be? He didn't look like it in Seattle, but that could have been due to the scheme. Schematically, he wasn't, you know, utilized as much as he was in New Orleans, and he probably, you know, wish he could have found a way to stay in New Orleans. Probably would have had another, you know, 20-something touchdowns. The targets weren't there. They were a run-first team, and it is what it is. But he's there now. Paired with Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams. You throw Dez in there, and that's a scary trio at receiver, and a scary, you know, four-piece, if you will, with Graham. And you have Ty Montgomery in the backfield. So that passing game is elite. Then you take a look at a team like Baltimore. Baltimore, who's, you know, if you watch during the last season, I was never too high on, never too low on. They were always middle of the pack for me. You throw Dez Bryant out there and give Flacco a legit receiving threat. Not saying they don't have any legit receivers, but you know what I mean. A top-tier receiver, in my opinion. And an angry one at that. And they could push for one of those wild card spots. I would say they're probably not going to be as good as Pittsburgh. But the way Pittsburgh is, you never know. They could come out next year and win 14 games. They can come out next year and win 9 games. Very up and down. Personally, I'd say they'd be closer to the 14, but it's still early. You never know. Injuries are a part of everything. So the thing that stuck out to me, and I'll just to sum it up, was that they didn't even offer him a pay cut. They talked about it during the last season, and I guess since he, you know, seemed to not be a fan of it, you know, occasionally, I get maybe there were official talks during the season. I have no clue, but from what we're being told by Dez, there was not really a talk of a pay cut at the meeting. It was just kind of, hey, thanks for your service. You're gone. Feel bad for Dez. And just to wrap on a few more Dez Bryant tweets, he retweeted DeAndre Hopkins, who showed a picture of him photoshopped into a Texans uniform. It's rough. Text from a former teammate of Bryant that he retweeted said coaches probably had a problem with him because he would call them out like they do us. That's probably why they let him go. And he placed the blame on what he called quote-unquote Garrett guys. And the first thing I thought of when I thought Garrett guys, oddly enough, was, you know, Tony Romo. Obviously, it's not his fault. Maybe somebody like Jason Witten, I'm guessing. They never seem to really get along too well. I mean, obviously, he's not Terrell Owens. He's not against them that much, but they didn't exactly seem to click. I don't know. And somebody said to Dez, because he said he's got his edge back, it's personal, and somebody said, making $16 million a year doesn't give you the edge, getting your feelings hurt, Will? He said, it's sad if you thought I played for the money. Dez Bryant, you know, not a bad guy by any means of the word, but the way he's portrayed in the media, and openly, based on, you know, his passionate approach to the game. Not exactly a hero, I would say. Not a villain. Although some would characterize him that way. But nowadays, after this, he's kind of a sympathetic figure. He really is. We'll get into number two in the standout seven. And we're going to go with a quarterback carousel recap, since we've been gone for a while. We talked about Smith to the Redskins. That happened. We covered that. Keenum to Denver. Sure. supposedly, and we'll get into this later in the draft combine section, likely, Denver's still looking to draft a quarterback. Keenum's not the long-term answer. I can't blame them. It's hard to think that, you know, Keenum will be guaranteed success at the quarterback position, not because he's not talented, but because he's learning a new scheme, he's got new teammates, he's got to get the chemistry down and things like that. There will be growing pains, in all likelihood. And the same with Smith in Washington. That being said, then we have, we mentioned before, the Jets picking up Teddy Bridgewater and bringing back McCown and looking for a quarterback in all likelihood. The Bills looking to posture for a quarterback. You know, then we had Kirk Cousins signing a fully guaranteed contract with the Vikings in excess of $80 million. And I'll say this. If the Vikings really think he's their man, then good for you. You got him. Also, supposedly the Jets offered him more. Just putting it out there. I don't know if it was fully guaranteed, but supposedly the Jets offered him somewhere around 90. I believe the final number for Cousins in Minnesota was 85, 86. $4 million's not going to make or break you when you're making all this money. As I was saying, kudos to them. If that's the guy you wanted and you think he's the answer, you got him. I'm not overly high on Kirk Cousins. I think he's probably in the second tier of quarterbacks. You know, you have the elite class, which is maybe like 5 to 7 guys, 8 if you want to stretch it, talent-wise. I think he's in that middle pack where he's probably between like 8 and 18. Some days he'll be 18, some days he'll be 8. You know what I mean? Very up and down. Redskins fans like to say he couldn't make the big plays when they mattered. I don't know how accurate that is. Certainly made some great plays for them. But, you know, the most legendary play I've ever seen is when he was supposed to spike the ball against Philadelphia and he took a knee. That will never leave my mind. It is by far the biggest bonehead play probably in Redskins history. You know, I'm not a football historian, but I'd venture a guess say it's got to be top 5 in Redskins history. And in terms of late plays before the half, maybe in NFL history. It's pretty bad. It's hilarious. It's laughable. If you get a chance and you haven't seen it, please look it up. I implore you. I beg of you. Look it up. It's worth your time. It's a 1-minute video. We also had the other big fish in the sea, Sam Bradford, signing a 1-year, $20 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. I have immense problems with this. I do not believe Sam Bradford at this stage in his career is worth $20 million. I'm not saying Sam Bradford's not a talented quarterback. I just don't think he's worth it. Moreover, this is a 1-year deal, presumably because either they think he's going to get hurt, which he might, or they're going to try to make a move for a quarterback in the draft. Maybe they'll go and try and get a Baker Mayfield or a Lamar Jackson or Mason Rudolph, or they can, you know, package together some things and just kind of try and, you know, move all the way up to get one of these elite quarterbacks. I don't know. This is coming after them releasing Tyrann Mathieu. I'm not sure if we got to that in the last episode. I was flabbergasted at that move. Flabbergasted. And he wound up going to Houston to help that already elite defense. I think Matthew's a great addition. I cannot understand cutting such an elite player at only 25 years old. Maybe it was the injuries. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's locker room things we don't know about. But for that to be a cap casualty, the Honey Badger, one of the elite defensive backs in the NFL, even at 5'9", boggles the mind. Either way, I don't think Bradford is the answer for them. And I think they know that, which is why they only signed him to a 1-year deal. Maybe they'll, you know, tread water, and if when David Johnson comes back, one of the best running backs in the league for my money, the best running back in the league all around wise, who knows? If Bradford can give them that 68-70% completion rating, which is high, I know, but he's a pretty accurate passer, and stay healthy and play all 16 games, it's quite possible that team could be one of those where it's like, all right, they're at 8 wins, they're at 9 wins, can they sneak in? And if they can sneak in, with some of the guys they have on the offensive side, you know, guys like Larry Fitzgerald, who's all heart all the time, and then they still have some talented players on that defense, including but not limited to Patrick Peterson, it would be interesting. Like I said, I'm not a fan at all of that signing. I think it's a little boneheaded. But you need a quarterback, right? You can't play without a quarterback, so it is what it is. Number three in the standout seven, the Los Angeles Rams, the sweetheart of the league, my sweetheart, keep making moves. They acquired Brandon Cooks for a first-round draft pick, as we mentioned, and that was only after trying to acquire Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr. They are pushing hard, and I like it a lot. But the thing is, will they be legit contenders in this stacked NFC? And I heard Peter Rosenberg on the Michael Kay show the other day mention this. And if you think of some of the top teams in the league, you know, if you want to run through, like, you know, even if it's just the quarterback position or in general, the defending champion, Philadelphia Eagles, the Atlanta Falcons, who beat them on their home turf in the postseason. Then you have the New Orleans Saints, who almost beat the Minnesota Vikings. Then you have the Minnesota Vikings on top of that. And not to mention, you know, teams like the Packers, teams like the Panthers, who have some fight in them. Maybe Tampa Bay comes back. Listen, if you watch the show, you know how disappointed I was in those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But in the upcoming season, it's quite possible that they'll do a little bit better, you know, because they crashed really hard, and they certainly have the talent for it, at least on the offensive end of the ball. You look around, and, you know, even if we're going to run through, you know, the New York Giants might have a resurgence. It's quite possible that Dallas, minus Dez Bryant, you know, has a good year. If Dez goes to Washington, maybe Washington will be good. As I mentioned before, Arizona can sneak in, and that's from their own division. I think Seattle's a little hampered, having gotten rid of Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman, but with Russell Wilson at the helm, and Jimmy Graham, with Russell Wilson at the helm and Pete on the sideline, I wouldn't bet against that team. It's a talented combo, and I don't know. I think they might find a way. I think they'll be middle of the pack this year and next season do a little bit better, depending on how the draft goes for them. If the draft goes well, they could very well keep winning. And we haven't even talked about the San Francisco 49ers, who gave Jimmy Garoppolo that monster contract, and, you know, they were great come the end of the year. Carlos Hyde said they'd make the Super Bowl. He then proceeded to leave the team. That's a bold move on his part. But that being said, they're pretty good. It's a stacked NFC. So I respect the Rams for making these moves, but I don't know if they necessarily made them a top team. In my personal opinion, I think they are a contender. But would I put them above a team like the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees and the experience they have and those phenomenal rookies on their defensive end? I don't know if I would. I really don't. I think it'd be close. Would I put them above the Vikings with Cousins? I might. I'm not high on Cousins. But when it comes to, you know, the Green Bay Packers, if they go up and sign Dez, or even as is, I think the Packers could stick with this Rams team. I think Philly can stick with this Rams team. Philly can stick with anyone in the NFL, obviously, as the defending champions. But you know what I mean. They're making these moves, but they're not really pulling away as much as trying to close the gap, in my opinion. You know, they lost Sammy Watkins. They didn't really utilize him very well, in my opinion, and it didn't click. It was a good effort, though. You plug in Brandon Cooks. You leave Todd Gurley coming off an MVP caliber season. Another year of seasoning for Jared Goff. You bring in Ndamukong Suh to add to a defensive line that already had Aaron Donald and the boys. They're going to be a good team. And I can't wait for the season to start. Number four. I don't think we talked about this in the last episode. And it's just a little AFC West overlook because the Raiders have had quite the offseason. You know, they sign John Gruden, former commentator John Gruden. People may not know John Gruden was a coach. Oh, they mention it all the time? Okay. Former Buccaneers coach and former Raiders coach John Gruden is the new head of the team. And they bring in Jordy Nelson to go with Amari Cooper. And they bring in Jared Cook at tight end. And they bring in Doug Martin in the backfield to go with Marshawn. And all of a sudden, and they still have Derek Carr and a pretty decent offensive line. And all of a sudden, you know, you have a Raiders team, which is even more formidable than the team that I thought would contend last season. Now some injuries and some poor play set them back last year, obviously. But that being said, this is a talented squad. It really is. So if we look around their division, we have Kansas City, who won the division. Oh, by the way, they just traded their starting quarterback to Washington. I know we've said it five times. It's sarcasm. So they're going to be going with Patrick Mahomes, who has all the raw talent. He's got some athleticism. He's got a rocket for an arm, and we've heard it all. But he's a rookie quarterback, essentially. Ostensibly, as a starter, he's a rookie. Obviously, it's his second year. But it's going to be his first time running the show on an NFL field. There could be growing pains. He's not working with the most elite receiving core. Then we have Denver, who signed Case Keenum. As we mentioned, there's no guarantee of success there. Is Keenum an upgrade of what they had? Yes. Is Keenum, you know, the equivalent of when they signed Peyton Manning? Goodness gracious, no. And then we have the Chargers, who are still kind of there. And there's some talent on that team. But I wouldn't say I'm picking the Chargers to win this division. And I don't think many people would, especially considering the reputation they have of just kind of sleepwalking through some games. They used to sleepwalk through like half the season in the Norv Turner days. So will the Raiders be the class of the AFC West? Obviously, I'm not making a prediction. We haven't done the draft. It's still April. I haven't seen anything. There could be injuries at OTAs. There could be injuries at, you know, preseason, in the preseason, and not at the preseason. So I would say as of right now, if I had to go out on a limb, I would say the Raiders could win this division. They really can. And we'll go into the last 3 points on the standout set. We'll go into the draft slash mock draft, you know, section of it. And number five would be number one in this section, number five in the total. And it's that Cleveland really has all the power in the first round of the draft. Now, obviously, they have the number one pick and the number four pick. They're not the only team with two first-round picks, so that's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because there are so many hypotheticals being thrown around, especially considering there are three quarterbacks near the top end of this draft that people think could go top five. You know, Josh Allen, who's got the rifle for an arm, you know, a la Jay Cutler, Jamarcus Russell. Those are not great comparisons, but those are some of the ones I've heard in terms of arm talent coming out. Then we have Sam Darnold, who was supposed to be kind of this, you know, prototypical guy. Then you have Rosen, who's a little bit more athletic, from my understanding. And then even if you look down at my boy Lamar Jackson, who brings the raw talent. I mean, I'm not saying he's, you know, it's not like turning a wide receiver into a quarterback. But he's got the athleticism that the other ones just don't bring. Even though he also has some pocket passing experience and he's won a Heisman. There's some people who think he should play wide receiver. It's a little bizarre to me. No one even wants to take a shot on him. A little bizarre. You know, Tom Brady's high on him. Maybe the Patriots will draft him. That'd be a fun time. Anyway, so we have all these hypotheticals. And the reason I say the Browns have all the power, and it's, you know, it's Captain Obvious, because they have the number one pick, but the four pick plays into it too. Because if Cleveland goes Barkley at number one, from what we're hearing, depending on what day you're hearing it, the Giants really like Barkley. They're not really high on Rosen, but they could take Darnold. So there's so many different scenarios. You have, let's say the Browns take Barkley, and they want a quarterback at four. I honestly, when they made the Tyrod deal, I kind of thought they would, you know, take a quarterback maybe second round or like later, because they gave up a third rounder for the guy. What are you giving up a third rounder for him to be a mentor? Nothing against Tyrod Taylor. He could be a great mentor. But when I think mentor, I think one of those journeyman Josh McCown kind of quarterbacks where it's like, yeah, he's not talented enough. I think Tyrod Taylor is plenty talented. And if it was based on just talent, he'd be the starter. He underperformed in Buffalo. How much of that was scheme? How much of that was the team around him? How much of that was him? I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm not in that locker room. You know, they traded for Kelvin Benjamin late in the year, or midway through the year, right? They can't trade late in the year. But midway through the year, and it was supposed to help that passing attack, and it didn't. That being said, they still made the postseason. They made the most of what they had, with a lot of that offense being predicated on LeSean McCoy. So, who knows? Back to the point, though. If they take Barkley, the Giants could take Darnold, and then, you know, the Colts could have the playing chips. You know, if people want to trade up for Josh Allen or Rosen and skip over Cleveland. Or, if Cleveland takes Darnold, the Giants could take Barkley, or the, you know, trade scenarios could pour in. There was a report the other day that said there might be, you know, a big old trade war to try and get Josh Allen, because he's got the raw talent a la, you know, Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs had to trade up to 10 to get him. You know, it's interesting. I don't see the Giants moving up, you know, like Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears had to move up last year. I don't see that happening. That's a no. But I could see them taking any of these three quarterbacks or Barkley or trading down. Now, if I put on my fan hat, you know, I take off my metaphorical suit here as I sit in my booth or in my living room, and I put on my, you know, my Eli Manning jersey or my Odell Beckham jersey, who would I want them to take? I don't know. And I think that's where the problem lies, because I think there's a divide, and it may even be in the front office too, where Gettleman came out and said Eli Manning's the team's quarterback and they can win with him, but they're still going to look into the future, and that makes sense. Well, if you can win with Eli Manning and you honestly think that, and Saquon Barkley's on the board, what's better for an aging quarterback than a running game? Now, you could say a reliable tight end, a good offensive line, but you know what I mean. You plug Barkley in there with the addition of Nate Solder, which allows Ereck Flowers to hopefully slide inside, because I think he'd be a lot better at guard. I'm not going to say he's a Pro Bowler, but he would look better at guard. I don't think he has the quickness for left tackle. You plug him in there. Obviously, they've lost Richburg and Pugh, so they're going to have to confront the rest of the offensive line, either in the draft or via free agency. They've signed a couple of players. Maybe pick up a guy like Orlando Brown, whose draft stock is, you know, lower than it should be, because he had a pretty darn good career at Oklahoma, but then he had that combine which scared people off. I think he'll be a talented player. Somebody's probably going to get a steal in him. Now, that being said, if they go Barkley, you're playing to contend this year. And the thing is, if he really is that generational runner, even when Manning retires, whether it be, you know, at the end of this year, which I think it'd probably be 2 years, even if he stretches it to three, what's more helpful to your new young quarterback than an established running game? You know what I mean? But if you go quarterback, which is respectable and understandable, that quarterback's going to come in with, you know, Marshall's going to be gone. He's going to have a young tight end, which will help him, Evan Engram, who's a pretty good player, and Odell might not be there because they still haven't signed him. So, and that's another thing. Do you want to tie up another chunk of your salary cap at quarterback? Which, you know, it's not really playing into it in my opinion, but down the road it will play in. You know, you have to sign your quarterback 2 years faster because you drafted this guy this year, when there's going to be another can't-miss prospect in a few years. There always are. Look around. And they miss. They do. I was browsing, and not to get off topic, but I was browsing social media the other day, and I saw a page called Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram. Very good follow. And they were showing a draft highlight when the analysts were giving glowing reviews of Jake Locker. Does anyone remember Jake Locker? He had the athleticism. He had the rocket for an arm. He wasn't can't miss, but come on. A lot of these guys miss. It's just the way it is. There's only 32 spots. Everybody's the best quarterback at one point. You know what I mean. That being said, I think Cleveland's got everyone in a vice grip, and if I were them, I wouldn't announce this pick until the night of, at the draft. I wouldn't let anyone know. Usually, you know, Clowney, they announce it in advance, you know, all these top quarterbacks, they get their little photo op, and it's just kind of a day to go there also. Mario Williams, they signed him way in advance. No, not this year, when there's so much at stake, especially considering, let's say everyone stays put before the fourth pick. So let's say Cleveland goes Barkley, the Giants take Darnold, and let's say the Colts take the pass rusher, his name escapes me. So then you're sitting at four at when you're Cleveland, and you have access to, you know, Rosen, Allen, anyone you want. And, you know, a team like Buffalo could call up and say, hey, we'll give you two ones this year and a one next year, and, you know, and a smattering of other things. And you'd say, all right, because that'll help you build your team. You just drafted the guy that's supposed to be the generational running back. You have Tyrod Taylor, who can give you competent play at the quarterback position. And you have Jarvis Landry out there with, you know, Josh Gordon, who's back for a full season for the first time in a long one. Along with, you know, David Njoku entering his second year at tight end. That could be an interesting team. Plus, you could take those other picks and, you know, pick an offensive lineman to replace Joe Thomas. Those are big shoes to fill, but somebody's got to fill them. And then, you know, bolster the defense if you need it. So to think that Cleveland is really in prime position for the first time in a long time, and they're a sneaky team. They could win 8 games, as presently constituted. We haven't even gotten to the draft. I could see them winning 8 games. Who knows? Could they sneak into the postseason? It might be a stretch. Let's see how they could fully, you know, go full Cleveland and botch this draft. You never know. But as of right now, and the way it's looking, their front office seems to be, you know, in the right mindset, going the right way. Who knows? If not this year, then next year. If not next year, then when? Cleveland's got to make the playoffs eventually, folks. I know it's fun in games. It's fun to poke fun at these teams that never make it, like Buffalo and Cleveland. Well, Buffalo made it this past year. That's why I brought them up. But eventually, you got to get in, eh? Come on. It's no fun if they're always at the bottom. Look at the New York Jets. The Jets haven't won a Super Bowl in forever. But they made it to 2 AFC championship games. So now when they're back at the bottom, you know, they get to have their fan base still. All right. On to number 6 in the standout 7. And it's just kind of my thoughts on trading up for number 2. Or number 1 if it's available, which I don't think it is. They're listening, but I think you'd have to give them a lot. Is it worth the king's ransom to go up to number 2? Now, it depends on the situation you're in as a team. You know, if you're a team like Denver, who thinks you're right there, and, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, a decent running game, a good defense, you could be. If you trade up and that quarterback you pick is the one and you hit, if you go up and get Darnold and Darnold is the man, Darnold is Andrew Luck minus a little bit of athleticism, you hit. It's worth it. But I think it's a little risky because, as I said before, a lot of these guys don't hit. You know, look at all the quarterbacks taken in the first round. Look in the NFL right now. Look at Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's not a bad passer. Not a bad quarterback at all. If you had to draft from players in the league, where would you put Ryan Tannehill? If you were picking a quarterback from the group of quarterbacks in the league, where would you rank him? No one's ranking him higher than 10. Very few people are ranking him higher than the middle of the pack. You know, maybe, what, 15? Is that about right? 17? Coming off an injury? 18? That was a first-round passer. Look at Mark Sanchez. Game managed for a little while and then kind of fell out of it. Look at a guy like Alex Smith, who went number 1, who is considered a pretty darn good quarterback. And he is. Not for the first few years he wasn't. He really wasn't. He needed a regime change. You know, he needed Harbaugh to come in and change things up. And he's been his best in Kansas City. Now he's in Washington, and we'll see how he does. But he needed to change his scenery, I guess. And he needed the change of regime to, like, you know, help him out. So if the good coach is in place, you could take any quarterback and have something. But I'm not certain. I don't know what the price is. They haven't made it. You know, no one's gotten to that one, what the Giants are explicitly looking for. If it were as simple as, you know, 2 ones, they probably would have already dealt it to Buffalo. So it's probably quite a bit. I don't think it's RG3 level, where it's, you know, 3 ones and 3 twos. Congrats to RG3, by the way, signing with the Baltimore Ravens. Good for him. Where you have a guy like Kaepernick, who, you know, just had his workout for the Seahawks postponed, and then they signed another quarterback, and then you have Johnny Manziel playing spring football. It's rough out here trying to get a job as a quarterback. Good for Robert. getting in there in Baltimore. We're going to see him back in the fray. Hopefully he looks good. Hopefully he's healthy. He said he's the healthiest he's been since college. I don't know about all that. If he feels that way, that might be all that matters. If he's mentally that Robert, the physical part, he can work with. He really can. Hopefully. He just seems to be snake-bitten with a lot of these injuries. So, yeah, my main point is, if you're a fan of one of those teams that needs a quarterback, or if you're a fan of one of those teams and wants them to trade up, if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan and you want them to move up to get the future because you don't like Bradford, you might have to pump your brakes. Because there will be another, you know, at least one, probably two or three quarterbacks going in next year's first round as well. And if you are a Cardinal fan, not to pick on the Cardinals, but, you know, Sam Bradford will probably find a way to get hurt, and you guys will win about six games. So you never know. You'll be near-ish the top 10 again, and you'll be Gucci, all right? You'll be able to move up then. I just want to wrap up the standout seven this week, and this is number seven, with a couple thoughts on, you know, mock draft season and how the NFL has structured their season now to where it really does never end. And I love football as much as you love football. If you're 40 minutes into a podcast about football in April, but that being said, you need an off season. Come on, guys. An off season is necessary, in my opinion. You know, if you're a baseball fan, baseball season ends mid-October, well, late-ish October, depending on the year, you know what I mean? And spring training starts, you know, pitchers and catchers report mid-February, late February. You've got a couple months where you can just kind of cool off. You know, free agency doesn't really heat up right away. If you're talking about this past season for baseball, free agency didn't heat up till it was over. You know, Mark Reynolds, who's coming off a pretty darn good year, just signed a minor league contract with the Nationals. So there's still guys out there that are talented that are unemployed. That's neither here nor there. But, you know, it's interesting because you look at the NBA and, you know, you got the draft lottery and the draft, and the draft's going on about the same time as the finals. And then you got a couple months to just chill. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's bad. It's great for the league. But as someone who covers the sport, it's, I don't want to say grating because that would make it sound bad, because I do love talking football and I love the constant news, but the prognostication and the constant, you know, oh, the Giants really, really want Rosen. They're going to go for Rosen. Ah, the Giants don't like Rosen. And it's like 2 days later. It's like, well, who are you guys talking to? Maybe I'm supposed to be ranting at my peers, my fellow journalists. But sometimes you get a good source and, you know, they're leading you the wrong way, or they don't know as much as they think they know, or they're not as plugged in. So I don't know where the blame lies. I don't know if blame is the right word. But I know it's got to be for you guys, because it's definitely for me, a little bit grating to have the constant, you know, whirlwind of news that is ever shifting. You know, you see Saquon Barkley in a Giants hoodie the other day. Oh, the Giants want Barkley. They're going to go Barkley, Barkley, Barkley. Oh, they don't want any quarterbacks. You look back a couple weeks, I guarantee you could find a site reporting that they're very high on Darnold and they only want Darnold. You go in between those two, you'll find another site saying, oh, they're going to trade it. They don't want him. They don't like the quarterbacks. They know Barkley's going to go. They don't want Barkley. You look at when they traded JPP, which we didn't mention. They traded JPP. You guys have heard that by now. We're only airing monthly in the offseason. I'm sorry for the late news. That's why I'm trying to keep it topical, you know. And you say, oh, they want Bradley Chubb. They want Chubb. They want Chubb. Pause. It's like, come on. Really? Come on, guys. I know you're trying to fill the air and, you know, you got to get some content out there and you're plugged in, or at least you feel like you're plugged in and you want to get the information out there. It just gets old. I'm going to be honest with you. It gets old. I may sound like the old man in the room, even though I'm 20. It's not doing it for me. I'm waiting for the draft with bated breaths. It's exciting when we actually get there and things actually happen. But the prognostication, goodness gracious, it gets me. And it might be because if you look at the calendar, I guess, of the, I would say the three sports I mentioned, I'm not a big hockey guy, so I can't really delve too deeply into that. Football season, really the regular season begins in September, if you want to include the preseason in August. You have August to February, and then you have a six-month gap. Basketball ends in June, starts up again, you know, late October, November, 4 or 5 months. Baseball, you know, you got from, like, if you want to call it late October, so we'll call it November. You have November till mid-February. It's only 3 months. You got to fill 6 months of content for the NFL, and I respect the way they structured their offseason, so there's constant media coverage, and there's constantly something to look forward to and something to analyze. There really is. My point is just, you know, obviously if you're watching, thank you for watching, or listening, technically. Thank you for listening to 45 minutes of NFL prognostication in April, before the draft, with no major breaking news, aside from analyzing, you know, the Dez Bryant stuff and a couple of other things, looking forward to the season, because I think that's more interesting, in my opinion. Let me know what you think, at Nick Donatic on all social media. I think it's more interesting to analyze the actual season and how it impacts the actual game than just kind of looking at, will they move up, will blah, blah, blah. Looking at, you know, the deals made by a team like the Rams or the Raiders and how it's going to impact the actual season rather than, oh, how are they going to make this trade? How's that going to, you know? No. Let's just get to the games. We're a ways away from the games. We are 5 months away. But the draft's coming up. Keep your eyes out for the NFL draft. And that's my final point. Excuse the rant. I want to thank you for joining us here on episode 25 of the Necessary Roughness Podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. Just a reminder, folks, I've said it before, we are monthly in the off season, so episode 26, our next episode, will be airing May the 12th. May the 12th, set your calendars. That is exactly 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks away. So it's going to be a good time. May the 12th, I will see you then, hopefully. If you're still sticking around, as always from the regular season, thank you for sticking around. If you're new here, stick around as we get closer to the NFL season. There's going to be more content to cover. It's going to be more exciting. It's going to be just more everything, more football. I see you then. Here's hoping the offseason continues to be as interesting as it is, because even though I'm ranting, there are many things going on. You know, Jordy Nelson getting cut from the Packers. Who would have seen that one coming? Dez leaving Dallas. Blah, I would say was a little bit easier to see coming. They talked about the pay cut during the year. Tyrann Mathieu getting cut. Teddy Bridgewater going to the Jets. Is he going to start for them? Are they going to draft a quarterback? You know, there's a lot going on. We'll be able to break down the draft in the next episode and break down, you know, the implications of all the picks. We will finally know the answers to these things. If you want some more live analysis, I suggest that you follow me on Twitter at Nick Donatic, and we can talk and, you know, analyze on the go. Finally, I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, signing off.